Today we're remembering one of the most influential economists of the last century. That economist is John Kenneth Galbraith. He was an advisor to Democratic presidents. His actions and his books influenced the way that we think about government and the economy today. Galbraith was a follower of the British economist John Maynard Keynes, and like Keynes, he believed that the government could help to manage the economy.
The role of government may be debated, but that there is a large role for government in the modern society just cannot be doubted. And those who would go back to the 15th century, they should be heard, and they should be admired for their commitment to romance. But the notion that we're going to dispense with government in its larger functions is, I repeat myself, pure romance.
That's John Kenneth Galbraith, who has continued writing well into his 90s. Although his thinking has come under attack, a new biography maintains that his ideas are still relevant. Harvard economist Richard Parker wrote a hefty work about Galbraith's oversized life.
He's 6 feet 8 inches tall, and he has a commanding voice and a deeply charismatic man. I mean, this was a man who attracted attention and affection throughout his life. And you have to understand, this was a Canadian raised on a farm in southern Ontario who, for the first 8 years of his life, went to a one-room school and then to a place called Ontario Agriculture College, where he got his undergraduate degree in animal husbandry. And many years later, he went back to receive an honorary degree from OAC and was interviewed by Time magazine and observed, a bit carelessly, I'd have to say, that he thought that OAC was probably, at the time he was there, the worst college in the English-speaking language. Mm-hmm. Well, now, this, of course, set off the OAC administration and the alumni and blah. Oh, they were just ballistic. And in typical Galbraithian fashion, he decided he'd back down but do it his own way. And so he contacted Time and apologized and said that he had misspoken. OAC probably wasn't the worst. That title belonged to Arkansas A&M. But at the time, he just hadn't been sure that they spoke English at Arkansas A&M.
Oh, I'm sure that went over very well in Arkansas.
But beginning with that very humble beginning, what you have to understand is that 4 years later, after graduating from OAC, he had a PhD from Berkeley in economics. He'd been hired by Harvard University to teach, and he'd gotten his first postgraduate job working for the New Deal. And his career accelerated from there on so swiftly that by the start of the Second World War, when he was just 32 years of age, he was appointed by Roosevelt to take charge of the domestic price system in the U.S. economy during the Second World War.
Do you mean that he was in charge of setting the prices for goods that were bought and sold in the U.S. all across the country?
Absolutely. During wartime, there was a necessity to have some kind of government control over prices because the huge demand created by the Pentagon's consumption of all kinds of goods and services would have otherwise set off extraordinary inflation in wartime, which would have crippled the economy. And something like that had happened in the First World War when prices soared 60-70% in less than 2 years. Under Galbraith and his team at the Office of Price Administration, prices went up over the course of the entire war by barely 5%.
John Kenneth Galbraith certainly believed that the government had a large role to play in managing the economy and pointing it in a different direction when it was heading down, and also in shaping the society in which we live. All those are ideas that have come under attack in recent decades. Why do you think that is?
I think that what has become impoverished about discussion today in America about this free market question is that it's free markets versus government. And Galbraith and Keynes intellectually insist that there is no such polar set of opposites. There are no free markets that exist without governments to provide for legal enforcement, for defense, for the construction of critical infrastructure and the like. And so the choice is not between government and markets. It's about what is the appropriate mix of these two elements in any given society.
Is John Kenneth Galbraith still listened to today?
I don't think he's widely listened to by many people. You know, one of the interesting things I found was that Bill Clinton wanted to listen to him. President Clinton had long been an admirer of Galbraith. He gave Galbraith the Presidential Medal of Freedom 5 years ago. Galbraith, interestingly enough, is one of only two Americans to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which, of course, is the country's highest civilian award, twice. He and Colin Powell have both received it twice. No other American has been so honored.
He's still around now.
Yep.
He's 96 years old.
96 years old. Finished his most recent 48th book about a year and a half ago.
What keeps him going?
You know, he comes from a line of hardworking Scots-Canadian farmers. His great-grandfather lived to be, I think it was 102, and he did smoke up until the 1960s, but when the Surgeon General report came out, he dropped that, so, you know, that probably has contributed to his health. He has kept drinking in moderation. He frequently enjoys a little tipple of single malt whiskey before dinner and perhaps a glass of wine with dinner. And for years, until he really was physically unable to do it, he would go over to the Blodgett Pool here at Harvard and go for a regular half-hour swim. Now, one of the moments I love most is that one day he showed up and the pool was closed, and Galbraith being Galbraith, he just walked on into the pool, got undressed, and jumped in and began his 30-minute lap. And a young lifeguard came over to him and said, sir, the pool is closed. And Galbraith stopped in the shallow end of the pool, drew himself up to his full 6 feet, 8 inches, and said, young man, I am Mr. Blodgett. And, of course, the lifeguard immediately retreated from the edges of the Blodgett pool, and Galbraith proceeded to finish his daily swim.
Richard Parker is the author of John Kenneth Galbraith, His Life, His Politics, His Economics. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you, Steve. A delight to be here today.
And this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.